Israel during this last 10-day period has become a symbol of tactical genius and brilliant courage. In 6 short days, a small country beleaguered by many enemies bent on its destruction, routed their armies, won for itself a reprieve. The world understandably saw this battle in terms of the ancient biblical contest of the young David, the professional soldier, the grizzled veteran, Goliath. It was a proud victory. I'll never forget that behind this victory lay a desperate drama of survival. Israel did not want war. Israel did not seek war. Ever since Israel was proclaimed by the United Nations, it has had only one aim: to live in peace, to build bridges of friendship, to explore the possibilities of coexistence. And ever since Israel has been established, its neighbors, or most of them, have had only one ambition: to erase Israel, to deny to these people life and land and hope. Mr. Nasser had defeated the Israeli Defense Forces. He would have fulfilled his pledge to enter the land not on a red carpet, but on a carpet of blood. Now, the events of the last 10 days paralleled your preparations for confirmation. They were dramatic, even as this day has high drama for you. And when you think back on your confirmation, you will inevitably intertwine in your recollections the memory of these events, and this is just as well. For in the texture of this recent history is written large so many of the basic themes, the consistent dimensions, the fundamental commitments of our Jewish life. You will applaud the victory. You will remember it with pleasure. But I pray that you remember also that Israel did not seek these battles. Recollect and keep in mind the images shown on your television screens before the war. The Arabs dancing war dances, frenetic, hysterical dances of anticipation. Mobs shrieking in their various capitals, kill, murder, erase that land from off the map. And remember the parallel image, the quiet, silent, unemotional, unhysterical image and photograph of the Israeli mobilizing, preparing for war, preparing to counter the threat that was aimed at their throat, but doing so without pleasure, without anticipation, without bloodlust, not because they wanted to, but simply because they had to. As Jews, war is not a métier. We march to the sound of the shofar, not to the sound of the trumpet. And the shofar sounds to bid us obey the commandments, these laws, the laws of human relationships, the laws of justice and dignity, of righteousness and of love. The trumpet summons men to obey army commanders, to shoot, to deploy, kill. These are not our laws. Never in the Bible do you find Israel bidden, go out and conquer. Place the stamp of your authority on this land or that neighbor. Never once. Rather, our Bible commandments seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. War is at most, at its very best, a grim necessity. Civilized nations, civilized people go to war only when emotion has canceled reason among their neighbors, when greed has overwhelmed basic understanding, and when some glazed eyes mob as a knife at your jugular vein. Only then, only defend your life, your limb, all that is precious. You undertake that which is at its very best and most self-defense. Peace is our greeting. Yerushalayim, the city of peace, is our spiritual capital. To beat the swords into plowshares and the spears into pruning hooks is the message that we preach to the world. Our progenitor was described as an ish shalom, or yoshev, or halim, a man of peace who dwells tranquilly in his tent. And that is our ambition, and that has been our practice, and that has been our hope. Israel never spawned conquerors, emperors, generals of voracious appetite. We spawned the prophets. We taught men the techniques of sainthood and not the technicalities of knighthood. So it was, and so it is, and pray God so it shall ever be. For war is vain. War is an attempt by one nation to grab the wealth, the land, the possessions, the power of another nation. War simply redistributes the wealth, the land, which now exists, and in the process, it devastates land and it destroys wealth. War is wasteful. Wasteful of all that represents civilization. War is destructive. Civilization, progress, takes place only when men build, not when men destroy. Progress takes place only when we raise the city high, not when we raise the buildings that we have already built. We are called Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel. One can vocalize this phrase as Bonei Yisrael, the builders of Israel. For upbuilding has always been our vocation. As Jews, we are to help, to teach, to establish justice, to secure righteousness, to raise high the hospitals and the laboratories and the universities of civilization, to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before God. That's our métier, not war. We go to war only if we are forced. For Israel has known also not to confuse patience with passivity. Israel has learned the hard way not to give over all that it has, all that civilization has built to the despot, to the madden, to the bully. Our men have fought. We have known bravery, the bravery of silent patience and the bravery of fighting for what we stand for. David stood up to Goliath. The Maccabees stood up to those who desecrated every sanctity of our faith. Bar Kokhba stood up to the might of Rome, which was seeking to crush all the sanctities of Israel in his day, and modern Israel has stood up to the hate and to the vengeance of the Arabs. But neither David, nor Judah the Maccabee, nor Bar Kokhba, now, the Israelis of our day sought these wars, nor did they seek to extend their territory by these wars. They sought only to be allowed to live in peace. Israel has lived, as you well know, a heroic history, but ours has also been a hard history. And we have learned not to be innocent. We have learned never to forget that there are men who are cruel by nature, and there are men who are amoral, that there are nations who are maddened by the nightmare images of the despot and the demagogue. And that there are people who are angered by decency, and there are people who damn us for being simply what we are. We know that we cannot expect to go about the gentle work of upbuilding civilization without at times having to make much more serious sacrifices, without at times standing up for the very right of doing the right. And whether that has been demanded of us, we have not been behindhand. I shall not die, but live and declare the work of the Lord. These days, then, my confirmands, these days, then, reveal so much of the basic texture of our Jewish life. And if confirmation be what I firmly believe it to be, the pledge that our shared history will be your destiny, that the past is prelude, take this past to heart. It's heroic and noble. It begins with a simple proposition that Israel has never walked the high road of armies and legions and parades, that we have not sought domination. We have walked the humble road of teaching, study, and goodness. And where are the great empires? And here is our faith and our teaching spread across the globe. Our history reveals also that war is fundamentally worthless. War bankrupts an economy. War interrupts education. War destroys human life. War ravages the family and the city. War allows violence to break out into the street. War is worthless, and it is the upbuilding. It is the reaching out to touch another human being. It is the act of kindliness. It is the moment of love. It is the speaking of truth. It is the pushing back of the boundaries of darkness. It is the profession of service. It is these things which are fundamental, which are basic to all that gives us hope of the future. And finally, these days in our history teach us that we cannot expect to live and let live, and to be allowed to live simply because that is all we seek. But no matter how well-intentioned our motives, we cannot expect simply to be allowed by this world and to live our lives, to raise our families, to finish our schooling, to go about our work, doing our duty, paying our debts to society, and expecting no more. In the lifetime of your parents, in the lifetime of so many who are here, men and women who were confirmed at this very altar not so many years ago, there were the open ovens of Auschwitz and Dachau, and there were the closed doors to immigration into Israel. There were the riots and the pogroms. There were anti-Semitic outbreaks of many kinds, and finally, these three wars aimed at the annihilation of Israel. Insecurity is unfortunately the hallmark of our destiny. It keeps us close, keeps us on our guard, keeps us concerned and determined. But never let your guard down so much. Never forget that simply because you are good and seek the good, there may not be others who seek to do you hurt. Protect yourself. Protect all that you cherish, courageously and sacrificially if need be. Stand for what is true. Stand tall. Speak what needs to be spoken and speak it forthrightly. Do what needs to be done and do it without worry of the consequence. Stand with and for your people. And learn to turn aside the occasional anger and sneer and hate of the world. Such has been always the history of all peoples who have stood for goodness, for the commandments, nor sought to do God's service. The legions of the devil are here, even as the armies of God exist. You confirm yourselves this day into an heroic faith. Our history is a noble one. In our history, we have known suffering and hurt. We have known nobility, the privilege of service to the highest. Your pledge, made now, to join in this immortal band, to join with all men and all women who seek to carry out God's will. That pledge is a pledge which will bring beauty and grace and challenge into your lives. It's a pledge worth making. It's a privilege worth undertaking. Undertake it responsibly and reverently. Join the immortal band. Be prepared for its trials. Be privileged in its responsibilities.